Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Ayin Ches. We will begin on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah at the beginning of our perek, in identifying the shiur for carrying out different items, said the shiur, the amount of carrying out oil in Shabbos, is kedei losach ever cotton, the amount to shmir on a small limb. But the Gemara now begins to discuss what is the definition of a small limb. Says the Gemara, "I'm Rabbi Rabbanai, shemen k'day losach ever kotna shekotna ben yomai. The shear is extremely small. It's enough to anoint a small limb of a day old baby. That is the amount of oil you need to carry out." Meisvei asked the Gemara. It says in the Brisa, "Shemek de losach eva cotton, the amount to shmir a small limb, the cotton ben yoimai." So the Brisa used the word "vi cotton ben yoimai." Since the Brisa used that word, assumes the Gemara, "My lav doesn't mean eva cotton the godl, either shmearing the smallest limb of an adult, or eva godl, or the largest limb, shall cotton ben yoimai, but not that it has the double reason to be small, that it's both a child and his smallest limb." Amlach de Beir Rabbanai. So Rabbanai defends his position. Loi. The way to understand the Braisa is Hachikomer. This is the way to understand the Braisa. Shemen. When we speak about oil, k'dei losach eva cotton shel cotton, the amount to shmir the smallest limb of a cotton ben yoimai, a day old baby. So the Brice is saying is that we are not to interpret the way we thought to interpret the Brice, that the Brice is speaking about two different individuals, but rather the Brice is speaking about one individual, and that's the cotton ben yoimai, this child who's one day old, and we're talking about his smallest limb. Lema katanoi. So the Gemara wants to suggest that this question of what is the amount of oil that we're talking about is actually machlokes tanoim. The Brisa says, shemen k'dei losach eva cotton, the amount to shmir a small limb, the cotton ben yoimai, of a child who's one day old. Divrei Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Nosson amar, k'dei losach eva cotton, the amount to shmir a small limb. My laugh. So the Gemara wants to suggest, Balkamufki, that this is exactly the machloikis. Rav Shimon Elazar sover eva cotton shel cotton. That indeed, like we started the shiur today, the amount would be the amount for the smallest limb on a smallest child. Rav Nosson sover. Rav Nosson's opinion, however, is eva cotton the godl, either the smallest limb of an adult, or eva godl the cotton, or the largest limb of a child. Aval eva cotton shel cotton ben yoimai. But when it speaks about the smallest limb of the smallest individual, that means the smallest limb of a child, that will be way too little to consider the amount that you chay for in Shabbos, says the Marloi. So now what the Gemara is assuming is that this question that we've been discussing is actually a machlokes tanoim, says the Marloi. That's not the way to understand this machloikus. The Kul Alma, everybody will agree, eva cotton, the cotton ben yoim eloi, that to carry out the small amount of oil which is needed to shmir the smallest limb of the smallest child, loy is way too small. V'leisa de Rabbi Yanai. And according to this, nobody will agree with Rabbi Yanai. V'hocha. Just here the machlokes is b'hokamufki. This is the subject of machlokes. Rav Shimon Elazar sover eva cotton the godl, the smallest limb of an adult. Eva cotton the godl by yoimai, and the amount to shmir the smallest limb of an adult, or to shmir eva godl the cotton ben yoimai, or the largest limb of a child, kadadi ninu, are identical. Rav Nosson sover, Rav Nosson holds the no. Eva godl, eva cotton the godl, the smallest limb of a child in. That is the of an adult. That's the mat you're going to be chayiv on. Eva gadol the cotton ben yoimai, but the largest limb of a child loy, that's too small to be chayiv. So of course I saw that both the Sfas Emes and the Meroime Soda asked the obvious question: how could there be a machloikis in a metzias? How could there be a machloikis in a fact? If they're the same size or they're not the same size? Measure, and we'll see if they're the same size or not. So Meroime Soda says a very nice teretz. The Meroime Soda says, in size, indeed, the smallest limb of an adult and the largest limb of a child are the same size. However, says the Meroime Soda, the machlokes here is to take a different factor into consideration. A child's limbs are soft, and since his limbs are very soft, they're much quicker to absorb the oil that you smear in it. Whereas the limbs of an adult, the skin of an adult is tougher, and it doesn't accept, and it's not as easy for it to get to absorb the oil you smear in it. So maybe in size they're the same. That's the opinion of the first shita. The second shita says, but there's another factor to take in consideration, and that's that you need more oil till you'll get the oil absorbed into the skin, and that's why he says it's not the same shear. Ask the Gemara, my havalah, what is the halacha lemaisa regarding this machlokes? Says the Gemara, Toshma, the Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Shemen, the amount of oil, kedei losuch ever cotton, shel cotton ben yoimai. Now we go back to our original opinion, that the original opinion cited at the beginning of the Gemara is that it's the very small shear, the amount to shmear the smallest limb of the smallest child. We learned further in the Mishnah, what is the shear of water? Kedei losuch ben es akiler, the amount to mix an eye plaster. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye. Says Abaye, Michti. So Abaye begins with an observation. In other words, when we're speaking in our shir about the various liquids that are carried on Shabbos, so they have different uses. There's a use that's shriach, that's more common, and there's a use that's less common. Says the Gemara, whenever we speak about uses, we look at the more common use. Ozel bos rabbanim the shchicha, we follow the more common use in determining the shear, lakula, even if it makes a kula. That means, if we'll look at all the uses, there may be some uses where this is used in a smaller amount. We won't take that into consideration. The only thing we'll take in consideration is what is the most common use, whether it's lakula or lachumra. If one is of more common use and one is less common use. The Sefer Shar Metzion Balocha makes a very important observation as we learn this Gemara. He says that we speak very often about shiurim, and where we spoke that the typical shear by food, for example, is a groigris. So we said that the shear of a groigris, how do we know that shear? Because it's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. So he says from here, from this Gemara, we see that not by all objects is the shear a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Because if the shear was always a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, here too we should follow. What's the Gemara saying? We look at this, we look at that. We should just follow what the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai tells us. Shicha v'shichicha, where two uses are both common, also rabbanan basa de shichicha l'chumra. So then we go with the smaller shear, and both are used. So the Gemara explains itself. Yayin, when we speak about wine, sh'tiyasa shchicha, it's common that people will drink wine, v'refuasa lo shchicha. Yes, at times wine will be used as an ingredient in a medicine, but that's not common. Ozel rabbanon, basa sh'tiyasa de shchicha l'kula. Under those circumstances, Chazal followed the amount that you drink, even though it'll be a kula, as we discussed extensively in our previous year, it's the amount that you need for diluting a cup of wine that you're going to drink. Cholov, drinking milk, achilasa shchicha. Again, it's much more common that you're going to drink milk. Refuasa lo shchicha. It's not so common that you're going to use milk for a medicine. So again, Also, Rabbanan Basach Losel Kula, Chazal followed the amount that you drink, even though it means a kula, the amount that you drink in one cup. Dvash, but when we speak about honey, Achilasa Shchicha, it's common to use honey for eating. Rufuasa Shchicha, but it's also common to use it for a refuah. So that's why, as we learned in yesterday's shir as well, also Rabbanan Basach Rufuasa L'chumra, we followed the amount that used for the refuah, which is a chumra. So Rashi really asks, people certainly eat honey more than they used honey for refuah. So why does the Gemara say that the refuah and the drinking are equal? So Rashi says, since the only ingredient available for this sore, for this kotis, is dvash, there's nothing else that you could use for this situation. So that makes it shchiach, even though technically people eat honey more than they use it for refuah. Mayim, but ask the Gemara. Let's think about water. Shchitasei shchicha. It's very common to drink water. Refuasa la shchicha. But a refuah is not that common. So why, ask the Gemara, we started this piece of Gemara, my tama also rabbanu basa refuasa l'chumra. Why did Chazal, when they spoke about the shear of mayim, say that we go with the amount that's used for refuah? Shouldn't we have gone with the amount that's used for drinking, since most people drink water? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya Begalil Shana. Our Mishnah is speaking in Galil. So Rashi explains that in Galil they were poor, and therefore every little drop that they had of anything they took, they considered very important, and they couldn't afford to use wine and milk for a refuah. So they used to use water, and therefore makes water very common. Yeah, for refuah, and therefore we take that, and that becomes the shear for the amount of carrying water. Rabbeinu Chananel has a different pshat. He says that water of Galil was particularly healthy water. And since the water of Galil was particularly healthy, that's why water is considered, and that's why they wanted to use that water for refuah. Rav Amar, Rav says, no, we don't have to say that our Mishnah is speaking about Galil with the two pshatim that we just learned. We're talking about B'Shar Mekoymos, even other places besides Galil. Kodesh Shmuel, Dom Shmuel, Shmuel taught us, Kol Shekyane, all liquids, all beverages that you use, Masu Umetalali, have the ability to masa, to bring a refuah, metalali, and they also cover the eye, and they cover the sight. That means if somebody has an eye problem, they're going to use different beverages to heal the eye. So on one hand, they will heal the eye, but because they're thick, they're going to cause a film on the eye that will prevent eyesight. Levamamai, the masavalai metalali. The water, not only does it bring a refuah, it also doesn't cause that black, that film on the eye. And because of that, it makes water very shchiach. And because it makes water very shchiach for refuah, because that's the best refuah that you could have for your eyes, that makes it into shchiach. And that means the amount of water that's used for refuah becomes part of what becomes the shear for carrying on Shabbos. Our Gemara actually speaks here about water and what water is used for. There's a interesting Hilchos Ketanis. The Hilchos Ketanis in the Shalos Teshuvos, Hilchos Ketanis, Chelek Beis Simen Reis Samach Beis, discusses if somebody drinks water on Yom Kippur, is Chayiv Kores. And he says, because he says, the Gemara Masech the Yuma, that Pei Aleph, Amen Aleph, teaches us that if somebody drinks Tzur or Murius fish sauce on Yom Kippur, he's not Chayiv Kores. Because you're only Chayiv Kores for drinking something which is good for you, which brings enjoyment. Nobody drinks fish sauce. And says the Hilchos Gedolos that the same is by water. And he brings a raya. We're going to learn a mitzvah shem in Masechta Erevin, Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, that water cannot be used for an Erev Tchumim. And the Rambam over there in the Pirish Mishnayis explains that all that water does is water brings the different nutrition and the different foods into the area around the body. It puts it around the body. But it doesn't itself have any nutritional value. And the only food that can be used for Erev Tchumim, says the Gemara, is something that has independent nutritional value. This, of course, is a very big chiddush, and all the Paiskim don't agree. The Machna Chaim says that according to the opinion of the Hilchos Ketanis, if somebody would have to drink on Yom Kippur, he's a chayla, according to the Hilchos Ketanis, we should tell him that he should only drink water, because according to the Hilchos Ketanis, water is not chiyuv karis. All other beverages come with a chiyuv karis. And he says, we never saw such a halacha. And so too, the Shas HaTshuvas Avnei Tzedek says that water is certainly chiyuv karis. The Shas HaTshuvas Michas HaLozer in Chela Gimel Simen Nun Ches, on the contrary, says that water is extremely important, and that a person that he spoke to different doctors who told him that water is critical for the health of a person. Not only that, he goes on to say that every person is considered an olam katan, a miniature universe. And he says in the universe we know that water takes up a big part of the world. So just like water takes up a big part of the physical world, it should take up a big part of every person's diet. And to say that water is not healthy is not correct. And of course, you're not allowed to drink water on Yom Kippur. The Sefer Megadim Chadashim says it may be going according to the question that we just spoke about in our Gemara when we spoke about water. In other words, according to the pshat that said Beglil Shanu, that there were two pshatim, and the Reina Chananel said that it's only water of Golul that has very strong qualities. Other waters don't have those strong qualities. So according to that, we could understand our Gemara, says the Megadim Chadashim. Regular water, if it's not from Golul, there the halacha will be that it's the Hilchos Ketanis perhaps would be correct. He wants to suggest that water isn't considered of any intrinsic value, and there wouldn't be a chiyuv karis on Yom Kippur. Of course, that's not the way we paskin. We learned in the Mishnah of Shaar Kol HaMashkin, the shear by all other liquids is a revius. Tana Rabbanan, dam v'kol minei mashkin. When we speak about dam or other liquids, the shear is a revius. So, of course, the Sefer Rosh Yosef asked the question, what is our Mishnah speaking about dam v'revius? We're, of course, not allowed to drink water, or dam, and therefore, if revius is always the shear for the basis of revius, is because that's the shear for drinking, we don't drink dam. So he says that even though we, as B'nai Yisrael, of course, don't drink dam, but Akum are allowed to drink dam. So since it's a liquid that they drink, it becomes the shear for them. Says the Gemara Shimon Lozo Oimer, dam kedei lucha ba'ayin achas. The shear of dam is how much you need to put on one eye. Shekein koichlan liyorid. That was what they used to use. Shekein koichlan libarakis. If somebody had a speck protruding from the eye, that's what they used as a refuah. Or my nihu, what type of blood was used if somebody unfortunately had such a disease? Dam tarnaglas bara, the blood of a wild hen. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer, dam kedei lichal einechas, the amount of blood that you need to apply to one eye, shekein koichlan liyorid. That they used for cataracts. Or my nihu, what type of blood was used for somebody with a cataract? Dam de kashisa, the blood of a mole, the simanach, and to remember which blood is used for which disease. Gava le gava, the blood of something that you find inside the house is used inside the house is used for a disease that's inside the eye, cataract. Bra, and the blood of something that's found outside is used for bra, for a disease of something that's protruding from the eye that's outside. Bebedvar Mamurim, says the Braisa further, this is talking about Mamaitzei. If somebody is carrying this out to the Rishus HaRabim, Ava Metzniya, but if somebody puts away a dam, then the Kol Shu Chayiv. You Chayiv even for the smallest amount. Shimon Omer, Bebedvar Mamurim, this is all talking about Metzniya, when somebody puts away such a substance. Ava might say, carrying it out, and a chayiv l'rvias. Umaydim chacham l'Rav Shimon, continues the Braisa, and the Gemara is going to, Amit Hashem, explain this Braisa in a moment. Umaydim chacham l'Rav Shimon, but might say, shayiv chal l'shus rabim, if somebody takes out wastewater into the shus rabim, that the shear is a rvias. So the Gemara now analyzes the Braisa, as he said the Gemara would. Amamar, b'medva mamurim, B'maitzi, when is this shear said? When you're carrying it out. Ava metzniya, kolshu. If you put it away, the shear is kolshu. Ask the Gemara. Ota matzniya lav maitzihu. Well, there's no isser on Shabbos for putting something away. The isser on Shabbos, of course, is for carrying. So what is the Mishnah saying of a mitzniya? If somebody puts it away, the shear is kol shehu. You're not going to be chayiv for putting it away. So what does the braisa mean? Answers the Gemara. Amar Abaye, hocha v'mayiskinen. Our braisa is speaking about a Talmud. And Rashi points out that when we're speaking here about a Talmud, we're not speaking about a Talmud who's learning by his Rebbe. It's talking about Shulya the Nagra. He's talking about somebody who's an apprentice by carpenter. And as the Mefarshim explained, why does Rashi say this? Because here we're learning that the Rebbe is telling the Talmud to carry something on Shabbos. So Rashi was very disturbed. The could it be that a Talmud Chochem, a Talmud who's learning by a Rebbe, a Talmud Chochem, would tell him to violate Shabbos and carry something out on Shabbos? So to avoid that question, Rashi says, we're not talking about a regular Talmud, we're talking about a Shulya the Nagra. And that is, that type of Rebbe who's not learned may tell his Talmud to carry something out on Shabbos. That's the way I saw some explain Rashi's position. The Sharm Tzion and Balocha explains that Rashi's trying to teach us a different halacha. Of course, a Talmud that learns by his Rebbe, Gemara, halacha, is considered a Talmud. But we would maybe consider that somebody who learns by a Shulya the Nagra, he's just learning a profession, that would not create a relationship of Rebbe Talmud. Teaches us Rashi that even learning a Panosa, since there's an obligation to learn a Panosa, that creates that this is that he is considered a Talmud. So again, says the Gemara, says Abaya, that this price Achamai Skinan b'Talmud Shamalai Rabbi Lecha Fneili Amakam Masuda. Clear the table, I want to eat a meal. So he took everything from the table out to the Shus Rabim. So says the Braisa, if he carried out something that everybody agrees is significant, so certainly Chayiv Alevei, you're Chayiv for carrying it out. But if it's something that's not significant, if his Rebbe put it away, then Chayiv Alevei, then he'll be Chayiv for carrying it out. But if his Rebbe didn't put it away, so that means that it's not significant. That's not significant, and loy mechayiv. So there's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to understand this Gemara. Rashi explains that this Gemara is following the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who we learned earlier that Dafayim Vav. His opinion is that if one person puts something away, it becomes choshev for everybody else, and that's what's happening in this Gemara, according to Rashi. Since the Rebbe put it away, that makes it choshev for anybody who will carry it out. Tosfos, the Ve'er Maskil Otu, disagrees. And Tosfos says that we're not following the opinion of Shimon ben Elazar. But rather, Tosfos says, since, as we said, we're speaking here about a Talmud-Rebbe relationship, and what the Gemara is teaching us is that if this is something which is choshev to the Rebbe, it automatically becomes choshev to the Talmud as well, because he's the Talmud of this Rebbe. We also learned in the Braisa, if somebody carries out wastewater to Shus Rabim, the shear is a revius. Ask the Gemara, what could you use wastewater for? Answers the Gemara, you could use it to make clay. I saw that the Sefer Yosef Das says that from this Gemara we could see a halacha, that we know that this is the halacha, that one may not use wastewater to wash his hands for Netilas Yadayim or for Negel Vasser. Because if the halacha was that you could use that type of water for that purpose, so the Gemara could have said you could use it to wash your hands. The fact that the Gemara doesn't say that, the Gemara looks for a different use, is proof to the halacha that one may not use these liquids for, one may not use this water for washing his hands. So Tosfos asks a question. Yes, the Braisa told us that Shoifchin, the shear is a revius, and the Gemara asks a question, Shoifchin lemai chazul. But as Tosfos, we had the exact same halach in the Mishnah. Why in the Mishnah does, why when we learned the Mishnah does the Gemara not ask the question, Shoifchin lemai chazul? Only when we learned the Braisa does the Gemara come up with the question of Shoifchin lemai chazul. So, answers Tosfos, that the Mishnah, we would say, is talking about water that's wastewater, but it's not wastewater that's totally non-usable. So therefore, even though you wouldn't use it for drinking, you could still use it, since they're not that moss, that for different purposes. You could use it for washing, not yourself perhaps, but washing vessels or something like that. However, the Shoifchim that we're learning in our Mishnah, in the Braisa, is near dam. It was put next to blood. Shoifchin that's next to blood is mos. Nobody's going to use that kind of waste. And since nobody's going to use that kind of waste, ask the Gemara, why? What is it usable for? So the Shaila Meshiv asks a question on Tosfos. Tosfos says we're talking about wastewater, but it's not such dirty wastewater. And since it's not such dirty wastewater, it's not considered something that has no use. But ask the Shoyle Meshiv, the Torah says, Baal Tashaksu. A person is never allowed to do anything which will be not nice, which will be disgusting. So if I were to walk into somebody's house and see him using wastewater to wash his dishes, I would become very repulsed. So why are you allowed to use, why is the Tosfos saying, since it's not that moss, you use it, you could use it to wash your dishes, and it's not, and therefore the question of Shoifchin lemai chazul isn't appropriate. So the Shoyle Meshiv says a very bechiddush. He says that the Isser about Tashaksu only applies where I recognize how terrible what's happening is happening. But if I don't recognize that that is the situation, that's not, there is no Isser about the Shaksu. So it could be used to wash dishes. I had a problem that if I walk into your house and I see you using such water for dishes, I will be repulsed. I don't know what type of water you're using for your dishes. And actually, Ramosha in the Shas HaTshuvos Igros Ramosha, Yoridei Chelek Aleph Simen Lamed Aleph, uses this for Ashayla Halocha Lamaisa. He says that they used to, butchers, when they sold liver, they wanted the liver to have a good color. So what they used to do is soak the liver in blood. So he says, certainly anybody who would see the meat that he's about to eat soaked in blood would be repulsed. So why is there no Isser about the Shaksu? So he answers the same approach that the Shoyle Meshiv says. Since I don't know that that's what you're doing, I don't know that that's what you did with the liver. I just see a nice piece of liver. There's no Isser Baal Tashaksu. So again, the Gemara said, what can we use wastewater to make clay? Ask the Gemara. If we're talking about clay, would the Brisa teaches us, Vatanya Tit, the amount of clay you take out, could they last a pikor? Just the amount to form the opening of a barrel, which is a very, very small amount. So if we're speaking about clay, so you only need a little clay, so you only need a little water. Why is the shear of Shaifchen Ervius? Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Had the Migbal, if you already have prepared clay, so the amount of prepared clay that you carry out is a small amount. Had the loy migbal. Here we're talking about you do not have prepared clay. Lefisha en adam tayrich, and nobody's going to go through the bother lagabel tit to make clay lasas pikur to just for the small amount of clay. If you're going to go to the bother of preparing clay, you're going to use a larger amount of clay. A large amount of water that you need to make that much clay, you're going to need a revius of water. Continues the Mishnah. If somebody takes out a rope, the shear is kedei lasas oizen lekupen, the amount of rope that's used to make a handle for a basket. Gemi, if somebody takes out grass, kedei lasas talai lenafel lekavra, it's the amount to make a loop for a sifter or a sieve. That's a smaller amount than the amount that's used to make a basket handle, because the sieve or the sifter are very light and they don't need large loops and sturdy loops to hold them, and therefore just the amount of grass that you use for that is enough. Rabbi Yehuda says that the shear is k'day litl m'mena midas min al cotton. What they used to do is, they used to have the shoes prepared, custom-made shoes. So if somebody wants to a pair of shoes made for his child, they take a rope, and like that they measure the size of the child's foot, and that they took that rope to the shoemaker to know what size shoe he made. So that's the amount. This, explains the Miri, is a smaller shear than the shear of the Tanakama. He says, by grass. But the Meiri says that he doesn't only speak about grass, he also speaks about a rope. Nair, when it comes to take out paper, k'day lichtav lov kesher muchsin. In those days, when somebody passed the toll, the tax collector, to prove that he paid his tax, the tax collector would take a piece of paper and write two letters on the piece of paper, that would be a proof that he paid his taxes. The letters were larger than the normal size letters that one would write. And says the Mishnah, v'moitzi kesher muchsin, and if somebody carries a kesher muchsin on Shabbos, the halacha is his chayiv. Nayi mochuk, if somebody takes out erased paper, because, as we're going to learn, they would not write a kesher muchsin on erased paper, because then you could not know for sure if it wasn't forged. Or we're talking about, explaining the Rishonim, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, in tomorrow's shir, that any time that the paper is not usable for writing, it's enough paper that you take out to put over a small flask of oil. Or hide, or leather is leather that hasn't been processed. You can't write on it. So Rishonim say that what is meant in our Mishnah is the amount that's used to cover the kameya. Klaf, which is parchment, which is processed, and you can write on it. Kedei lichta lo parasha ketanish betfilin. The amount to write the smallest parasha of tefillin, which is Shema Yisrael. So Taisus Yontif asks a question. The halach is that the Dala Parshias of Tfilin are Ma'akvin Zezeh. So how could we just look at one Parsha itself? So the Taisus Yontif says that since we could use this parchment on which you wrote the Krishma, for Krishma Shalamita, people used to have, like many people have now, a siddur, a piece of paper to have the Krishma, that they say Krishma Shalameta. So ask the Taisus Yontif, if that's the case, So why did our Mishnah, when it wants to identify Krishma, say it should have said, because you're going to have a piece of parchment that you write on it, the parasha of Shema for Krishma Shalom Mita. So he answers, no, parchment, as is very clear in this Mishnah, in the Gemara, was very expensive. Nobody is going to use parchment just to put on it Krishma Shalamita. It's too expensive to use it for that purpose. But let's say somebody wrote tefillin, and the tefillin became pasul. So now, and he has left over the parsha of Krishma Shalamita. So now he'll use it for that purpose, but not that he would prepare it with expensive parchment for that purpose. So of course the question is, as we explained from Rashi, that the reason the shear by parchment is to write this amount is because nobody's going to use parchment, as Rashi explained, expensive to use it to write something that isn't required parchment like tefillin. Ask the Tfas Emes that even if people indeed reserve parchment for tefillin and mezuzahs, but when you have the parchment that you use for tefillin and mezuzahs, you're going to have leftover pieces of parchment. And those leftover pieces of parchment cannot be used for the tefillin and mezuzahs. So even if you have a small piece of parchment, you're going to use it for kesher muchsin because you have no other use for it. So the Sfas Emes says a chiddush, that even though a mezuzah cannot be written by pieces of parchment that are sewn together, you're allowed to write tefillin on parchment, which is made up of several pieces of parchment that are sewn together, as long as they're sewn together before you write the tefillin. So that's why he says we could understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah is speaking about parchment that nobody's going to use parchment for any other purpose. It's very expensive, and it could still be used for tefillin by sewing them together. The Tosfos asks, but isn't there even a smaller parasha? And that's the parasha of Soita. So Tosfos goes back to what we learned earlier in our shiur. Since the parasha of Soita is not typically written, Baruch Hashem, we don't find too many women who are a Soita. So says Tosfos, as our Gemara said earlier in the shiur, shchiach v'ene shchiach, when we have two uses of something, and one is common and one is not common, we always follow the more common use, and soita is not considered a common use. Continues the Mishnah. The oy ink kedei lichtav shtei osis. The amount of ink you need to write two letters. Chol is I make up. Kedei lichol ein achis. The amount that you use to put on one eye. Devek glue kedei litein b'roish ha-shafshaf. Enough to put on the head of a board. The Gemara will explain what type of board we're speaking about. Zephes, tar, v'gofer, sulfur, k'deilasis, nekev. Enough to form a hole. Which was the amount that they used, as Rashi explains, that they used to have a small tube in which they kept mercury, and this opening was sealed with tar or sulfur. And then a small hole was made in the seal, through which the mercury could slowly be removed without it spilling out. And then they would seal that hole again after they took out the mercury that they needed with tar or sulfur. Shava, wax, k'deilitein al pi nekev katan. Enough to put on the top of a small hole. Charsis, crushed brick, k'deilasis pi kor shel sofizov, to make the opening of the crucible of gold refiners, Rebudam Kedei Lassus Pitbit, enough to make a tripod. There was a pedestal in which they would put the crucible, and the Gemara is going to speak about exactly what this means. Subin Bran, Kedei Litan Pikor Shal Tzarfei Zov, amount to put on the top of the crucible of gold refiners. Sid, lime, Kedei Lossus Kotanish Bebonus, enough to smear on the smallest of girls. Rebudam Kedei Lassus Kilkel, enough to make the hair on the temples lay flat, enough to smear on the forehead. Begins the Gemara. Chevel namel chayiv. Why, when we spoke about the rope, did we say it's the mount to make a handle on your vessel? Why don't we say that this too is the shear today lasts talayla nafal kavra, the mount that you're going to use as a handle for a sifter on a sieve? Answers the Gemara, kivin the charek b'mona, the rope in those days was not smooth. Like avdi inchi, people are not going to use it for hanging as a loop unless you have to, because you don't want to scrape your hand. Tana rabbanan, hutzin. If somebody takes pieces of palm, today lasses oizel l'sal kfifa mitzvahs. It's enough to make a handle for a basket made out of palm leaves. Siv, if you take a different part of the part that's around the palm tree, a chemerim k'day liten al pimash b'kotten, it's enough to place on the mouth of a small funnel, l'sanan sayayin, that was used to filter the wine. Revav, grease, k'day losach tachas asbogin katana, the mouth that you put under a small wafer before you put it into the oven to bake. As we learned at the beginning of the Sechta, the way they used to bake in those times was by whatever you were baking, you put against the wall of the oven, and they used to smear some grease on the wall of the oven before they baked. V'shamashura, how much is that? Kesela. Ask the Gemara, V'tanya, have we not learned the shear is kegroigris? Answers the Gemara, idi v'idi chad shiro. It's the same amount, the groigris and the cellar. Muchin, continues the braisa, taking out katan, k'day lasas kadur katana, to make a small ball. V'kamish yuroi, and what is that shear? Says the Gemara, ke'egoiz, the size of a nut. Niyar, as we learned in the Mishnah, the amount of paper, k'day lichtav alo keshe muchsin. As much paper you need to write on it, this keshe muchsin. Tana, kama keshe muchsin, how large is a keshe muchsin? Shtei oisius b'ksav yivoni, two Greek letters. Ask the Gemara, Rimini, but the Braisa says, hamoitzi nai cholik, if somebody takes out blank paper, im yesh b'kidei licht of shtei oisius, if it's large enough to write on the two letters, chayiv, then you will be chayiv. Vim lav, but if it's not large enough to write on the two letters, you potter. So we see that it's not a piece of paper that needs to have the size of letters, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, that you write on it the large letters of a keshe muchsin. It's even just the small letters, the regular size letters. Answers the Gemara, Omar Rav Sheshmai Shtei Oisius, Shtei Oisius Shekeshe Muchsin. The regular, what the Braisa meant, didn't mean any two letters. It meant specifically two big letters as were written by the keshe muchsin. Rav Omar, Shtei Oisius Didon. The second braisa that says you only write the size of two regular letters. Yes, when you write on a piece of paper, you need to have a beis achizen. A beis achizen is the amount around the letter, the margin around the letters. The hainu keshe muchsin. And a keshe muchsin, there was no margin. For as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, the way they used to carry the keshe muchsin, they used to carry it flat on the hand. And since they carry it flat on the hand, they had no need for a margin. So two big letters without a margin is equal to two regular letters with a margin. Ask the Gemara Meisvei, it says in the Braisa, Amoitzenayim Mochik, if somebody carries out a raised paper, or shtar perur, or paid up loan document, im yesh b'loim shloike day licht of shtei oishis, if it, on the margin, there's enough to write two letters, or bekuloi, or the entire piece of paper, k'day lichrek apitz luchas k'tanish aplaiten, the amount that you could use as a cover on your jar of oil, chayif, v'mlaf, potter, that's the shear. So now the Gemara explains the question. Bishlam l'rav sheshes, according to Rav Sheshet Amr Shtei Oishis, that whenever the Braisa speaks about Shtei Oishis, it means Shtei Oishis Shekeshe Muchsin, the larger two letters, shaper. Then we could understand this Braisa, because it's talking about the two letters that are used by a tax collector. Ask the Gemara, however, according to Rava, El Rava, that the second Braisa is speaking about two regular letters with the margin, the Hainu, which is the same shear as Keshe Muchsin, Hacha, but when you're talking about this document, Beis Achiza Loitzarech, there is no need for a margin. And why, therefore, so according to Rava, this braisa should say a small measurement, two regular letters without the margin, says the Gemara. Indeed, it's a kasha. So we've said many times in our shiurim that there's a difference when the Gemara uses the word kasha or the Gemara uses the word tiyufta. Kasha means that there's an answer. Tiyufta means there's no answer. So Shabbos Shalmi says, in order to try to understand Rava's opinion, when we're talking about an empty piece of paper, that's when we need the amount of two regular letters and the margin. Here we're talking about a used piece of paper. It's an erased piece of paper. There, we need a larger size, the margin as well. Tana Rabbanan, Hamayti Kesha Mukhsin. If somebody carries out this receipt, so the halacha is Acha Loihera Lamukhas, until you showed it to the tax collector, Chayiv, Yechayiv for carrying it on Shabbos. Mishahera Lamukhsin, once you showed it, you potter, because it's a useless piece of paper. Yudaima Ap Mishahera Lamukhas, even after you showed it to the tax collector, Yechayiv Neshet Sarchloi. Ask the Maramai Benai, what's the machloikus? Om Rabbi Ike Benai Rehiti Mukhsa. They used to show the piece of paper to the tax collector. And then they had people that were assistants to the tax collector who would go check on people if they pay the taxes. So the question is, do people still hold on to the Kesher Mukhsin for that purpose? Tanakam says not. Rabbi Yehuda says yes. Rabbi Yehuda ben Mukhs Godl Mukhs Katan Ike Benayu, where there's a chief tax collector and an assistant. Rabbi Yehuda says the people will hold on to this document to show it to the assistant. Tanakama says, no, once you showed it to the main tax collector, you're not going to hold on to it for his assistance. Rav Ashi Omar, the difference is when there's only one tax collector. And in the city where I am, I showed it to the tax collector. And everybody agrees that once I showed it to the tax collector, for that tax collector, I have no need to hold on to it. Maybe I'm going to go to a different city. And I'm going to come to a different city where I'm not known. And I want to prove to the tax collector that I'm an honest person that pays my taxes. Dumbly, that I could show that tax collector from the other city, I'm a person that pays my taxes. So I'm going to hold on to the document, not for my city. For my city, whatever I need from this document, I've already used it for. But I'm going to use it for the next city, is the Nafka Minna. Tanakama says people don't hold on to documents for that purpose. Rabbi Yehuda says that is a legitimate purpose that people hold on to the tax collector document for.